Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Here's the Bible verse that we've been working through this series. In Psalm 145, it says this: I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. We've been talking about how we as a church have to be a church where the generations tell their stories to the generations so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be lifted up, so that we might see the goodness of God in those stories and be lifted up to believe for those goodnesses of God in our lives too. And this morning, we're not going to teach it. We're going to example it. Is that okay? So rather than me just talking at you for half an hour, everyone's relieved a bit by that. We're going to get some people up to tell their stories. But before we do that, we've got a story from one of our youngest members of the church on a video. So would you turn your eyes to the screen as we hear from Nell? That's cool, right? There's some dodgy theology in that household. I mean, a little bit interesting, but we get the gist of it, right? Hey, now you're amazing. We think you're great. And we're going to hear from three other people as well. So as they come to the stage, would you put your hands together for Jacob, John, and Tara as they come on up. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Are you okay on those stools, guys? Do you want this one, Jacob? Happy? All good? Do you want this one instead? Nope, cool. All right, so why don't you introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about who you are for anybody that might not know you. Just before we get there, this is nerve-wracking. It can be scary to be on this stage and talking to all of you. So be kind, clap, smile. Laugh when you need to laugh. Cool. Just tell us about who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, I'm Tara. I'm 29, 30 in April. Woo-woo. I've been coming to church for about a year, just over a year now. It's me, really.
Great stuff.
My name is Jacob and I'm 10. And I like Lego. Yeah!
I'm John, married to Claire. I've been coming to One Church now for 6-7 years-ish.
Great stuff. I'm really glad that Jacob pre-warned me he was going to say he liked Lego, because otherwise my brain was going to go, right, tell me all about your Lego. And John, you're Jacob's dad, right? Yeah. Let's make sure that we get that one in there as well. Cool. So we'll go to Jacob first, if that's okay. We'll work our way up the ages, okay? Jacob, you're wearing a very bright T-shirt. Tell us what Young Lions Juniors is, mate.
So last year I got a letter saying that I had been chosen to be part of Young Lions Juniors. I am very privileged to be part of it, as only 7 children across the One Church network were chosen and only 6 churches across AOG took part in it. I go up to One Church Gloucester once a month to help out in the service and have fun with the other Young Lion Juniors. We also have a talk from someone after the service and we have something to think about for the month ahead.
Wow. Great stuff. So we talk about being a church of generations.
we literally invest in these generations from the youngest age possible. And Young Lions Juniors is about growing gifts that are within these kids already, because they're recognized and we want to grow them to be the best they can be, right?
Yeah.
And so this is just the first step of it. So Jacob, you're doing a great job with it, mate. Why don't you tell us a bit about why you're doing Young Lions Juniors? You said about being
because
brave.
I want to grow my faith in Jesus and to be more brave.
Great stuff, mate. Okay, and then last question for you, and this is where you tell your story, okay? In November, you got asked to do something, and then that happened in December, right? So tell us that story quickly.
So in November, my parents got an email saying that I was going to go on stage in December, the same service that Mark Ritchie was at. I was really worried about it, as lots of people would be there. I prayed and prayed, but nothing came till the night before. I prayed again, and just as I was going to sleep, I saw a picture in my mind. It was of me on the stage with lots of people cheering me on. In the morning, I realized that the picture was sent from God, and I felt a lot better about going on stage. And I had great fun helping to lead the service.
Great job, mate. And was it easy?
Not really.
No? But you did it anyway. Good job, mate. Very good. Well done, mate. Because you were brave then, but it's brave today as well. So thank you. We think you're great, okay? Right, Tara.
Hello.
Hello. Your story is different to Jacob's. You're a little bit older.
A little bit.
But we're in the better generation, we. And you're a very different person today to who you were maybe 2 years ago. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, I've been coming to church for about a year. Before church, I didn't know Jesus. We wasn't sort of brought up in religion. I think for me, the biggest difference is I suffered with mental health quite bad. Sorry, it's quite...
Whew. It's okay.
So I used to struggle quite bad, to the point where I didn't want to be alive. Sorry. So I tried pretty much everything in my life to change my mindset, get myself out of this sort of dark hole that I was in. Nothing worked. And I was a completely different person back then. I think people that knew me then and sort of know me now can see the difference, my family.
Cool. Okay. You wrote your story on Facebook, and it was amazing to read. You've probably got one of the best ways to make a decision to follow Jesus that I've ever heard or read. Tell us a little bit about what brought that conversation about.
So again, like I said, I was struggling back. I think it was it lockdown? Yeah, I think we were only allowed to meet outside in the gardens. And me and my sister are very close, and she knew I was struggling with my mental health, and she told me to come round hers for a bottle of wine, glass bottle. It was summertime, so I went round, and she's always been great trying to cheer me up at her best. Sort of went round chatting, and she told me about how she started to read the Bible, and this is a whole new thing for her as well. So she didn't really know what she was doing, but she thought, oh, I'll give it a go and, you know, tell my sister about it. She needs the help, I think. So, yeah, I went round and we just had a good little chat, and she told me when I was going home that night, just give it a go, pray to Jesus and ask for help. And that's what I did. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was walking home, maybe a little bit tipsy. but I thought, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go. I didn't have a clue. Just sort of looked up and I was just like, please, God, someone, whoever's there, just help me. I really need your help because if I don't, I don't know if I'm going to be here. So, and then that night I had a complete, I had this feeling come over me and it was just this, just a settling feeling that I wasn't alone. And yeah, it just changed my life. That moment on, I sort of said to myself, that's it, I'm going to really look into this. And I did.
Okay. So, you go home, that moment of just saying, if you're there, I need to know, and a complete feeling of just like comfort, right?
Yeah.
So, tell us, like, what's the next step in that journey? You've gone from being somebody, like you said, not even sure you want to keep going, to all of a sudden feeling comfort and like you're not alone anymore. Like, where do you go from there?
I think it was just, it sort of progressed, obviously, the more I was praying. And then I found you guys online. I found you on Google, actually. And I told Carly about it and he said, should we go and try and see what it's like? Coming in here has really helped me as well. My confidence and, I mean, there's no way in a million years I would be sat up on this stage going back a couple years ago. So, it's just, I don't know, I just feel like I'm a different person. Don't get me wrong, I still get bad days like everyone does, but I can't remember the last time I laid in bed crying. So, that alone is an amazing achievement, and such a loving feeling I get from Jesus. And every day I feel like I'm ready to go. That's how I feel, like he's recharged me. And like from my testimony I wrote it when I was on the way to New York, which was amazing. First solo travel I've ever done on my own, which I think everyone thought I was crazy, but I was like, I want to do it, and I went alone. I had him right by my side, and it was just the best thing I've ever done.
Amazing. And New York, so you did New York. You spent like a week there, 2 weeks?
It was 6 nights.
Your Facebook photos, I was very jealous of them. but for somebody who'd never traveled on their own, what was the next step? So you, I'm pretty sure you said like you flew home, and then you went on the internet.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
So I've booked Australia. three weeks in Australia, I gave this November. And I've also booked a week in Croatia and a week in Greece this year as well.
It's all right for some, isn't it?
And I'm hoping to do mission next year to Zimbabwe as well.
Here's the best bit about, so what I love about your story and your story, Jacob, is that, so if you've been around church for a long time, you hear these kinds of stories, and people always talk about when they went to church, everything changed. Your stories didn't change because of church. Your stories changed before you even walked through the doors of church, because God. Because God moved, and God spoke to you, Jacob, and the confidence that you needed for that morning was there because of what God did, right? I think that's quality. I think that's absolutely amazing, and I think your story is one that will reach people and will change their lives. And this is just the tip of it. So great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Get some nice photos of Australia. We look forward to seeing them. Okay, lastly, Mr. John Pitts, definitely not least, even if you are a Bath fan.
We lost as well.
Cool. So all jesting aside, tell us about where you found yourself. So you've been a Christian for a while, right?
Yep. So long been coming for donkey's years. I'm in mobile comms. I've been contracting for a while with a Chinese firm. We're going back six years now. It was okay. wasn't brilliant, but it was okay, and it was home based. And it was the end of 2017 when I was served notice. Being contractor, well, there isn't an argument, 1 week's notice and when you're gone. It was amicable, but there was a bit of a sour taste, really. So I chose to take a few months off. And between the end of 17 and start of COVID, I was off completely. We were okay. But I think I sat through 10 interviews during that time. Just keep trying and trying. 10 interviews, 10 no's. Some of them hurt more than others. You didn't want them all, but 10 interviews. And I think it was Father's Day, 2021. And Simon Dry was up at Gloucester, preached on don't quit. When life's falling apart, don't quit. When you're bouncing off the walls and you're going through winter season, don't quit. And you know, I was at that stage when I was rejecting church completely. I was sniggering through services, just couldn't come at all. Claire came back after COVID, I couldn't. And then it all changed. Was it back end of 2021? Mm-hmm. Twist of fate. So I'd sat through 10 interviews pre-COVID, another 6 or 7 during COVID. Just wasn't happening. 16 interviews, 16 no's. I was just, you know, everyone else was getting their miracles. I wasn't getting mine.
How do you feel in that time? Because that's hard, right? How do you feel?
I trusted. Financially, we were okay. We were gifted. Mum and Dad, thank you for everything that you did and still do. When everyone else was getting their miracles and I was rejecting, Mum's got a glass half full to this day. And when nothing else worked, that did at times. And yeah, everyone was saying, well, you've got to get something. Just get back in. And praying and praying. No, I just kept that sense of keep at it. It's coming. Keep at it. It's coming. Don't divest. Keep at it. It's coming. But where is it? Where is it? And then it all changed back in 2021. I went from interview to starting in Thiel in 10 days. Step up in responsibility in an area of comms that I didn't know at the time. The guy that I took over from, he was working 70-hour weeks almost to paper over cracks. That project got handed back in March last year because I said this can't be done. He's done 70-hour weeks. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I was moved on to a new project this time last year. And it's a complete natural fit, and everything is just slotted in. You can just see where it's all come from.
Amazing. So you've gone from a place of like being rejected from jobs constantly to getting a job that you feel like I'm glad to have the job, but it's not really working for me. To now being in a place where you feel like you're thriving.
Looking back now, what I've got now is a complete natural fit. I've stepped up, doing stuff now that I would never have thought of 3-4 years ago.
Great stuff.
Level of responsibility that I would never have had in a firm that does look after you.
Very good, mate.
God's come good.
Great stuff. Brilliant. That's cool, right? That's a miracle. Let's give God a round of applause. So what you've spoken about is like the real practicals in your story, and that's cool. But like, how did you root yourself through those times in God? Because you said to start with, it was like you almost just walked away. What is it that pulled you back? And then why stay in those moments when everything feels like this is all going wrong?
I think in faith life, I did hit rock bottom. This is when we were in the middle of COVID. Claire and Jacob would sit watching online church. And for 3 or 4 months, I just couldn't do it. At the end of the room, sat there sniggering through the sermons. Simon's preach, I think, yeah, don't quit. When life's bouncing off the walls, don't quit. That struck a chord. And then, yeah, I think it was probably when we were up in Scotland in that August, because it all clicked in that. I think the interview was back in September. I started in October. It just clicked. And I look back now, seeing who was where, who the directors were, who was working in which projects. there was an element of well, that person was in the right place, and you look back and think, no, God was in that. All those 4 years, trust, keep at it.
Very good, mate. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing your story this morning. And here's why we're doing this morning, okay? Because each one of these stories is, like, you can see how they link together, because God's in it. But you've got a story of complete transformation. You've got a story of crazy courage, and you've got a story of trust through. And I don't know about you, but in each one of those stories, I'm going, okay, yeah, I can see how that works for me too. Like, they work together. But if that's the case with these three stories, imagine the difference that your story could make to someone's life. And that's what this whole series has been about, right? We said it right at the beginning. Your story has an impact on somebody. Are you willing to share it? But this morning, what I really want to do is honor these guys for their willingness to share and their courage in sharing their stories. And we kind of mentioned this before, but maybe you're sat here this morning and you're saying, I really connect with that story that Tara said. I really connect with Jacob's story. If that's the case, at the end of the service, we're going to ask these guys if they'd be happy to pray with you, because there's power when someone's gone through something and then they can, then when they pray over somebody going through similar, there's power in that. And if you guys are happy with that, then why not come and grab them afterwards? You don't need to tell them the whole story, but just say, hey, this is something that I'm going through. Would you just stand with me and pray for me in it? And as one generation tells of the good works of God's power to another, something changes. And that's what we're believing for, coming out of this series and coming out of this morning. Is that okay with you all? Hey, why not give these guys a round of applause as they just go back and take their seats? And continue to share your story, because yours has an impact too. But as we wrap up this series, I'm just going to invite Pastor Ali up just to finish this off for us.
That's amazing. So I've just been given the privilege of just finishing off this series for you. And I want you to know that when we do a teaching series, we do it across the whole network. So basically all the other locations get exactly the same stuff as you guys, because we pray as a collective team and we say, what is God saying to us? And some of you who were at the conference last year will have known we did the whole banners and the booms and the all gen session where you guys all went crazy honoring each other, and we just talked about how God's got something for every generation to do, and that irrespective of age, you've all got something to bring. And God really spoke to me about that, and he said this is more than just an encouragement, but he spoke to me from the story of Nehemiah and building Jerusalem back up. Jerusalem was the chosen city of God. It was amazing. It was chosen to by him before it was even built, and it lay in ruins, and it broke God's heart to see this city. It was just wrecked. It was wrecked. It was in it. It'd been burned out, and it looked really sad. And there was only a remnant of just people that lived there, and they pretty much lived with their heads down. They didn't particularly look up. They didn't particularly look to God anymore, because this amazing, glorious place had become a heap of rubble. And God said, enough is enough. So he spoke to two guys. He spoke to a waiter and he spoke to a priest, both of whom were not qualified builders, architects, or project managers. And he said, I need you to rebuild the city that's closest to my heart. And they were like, are you kidding me? It's massive. And so they went and paid a visit to the city and said, like, okay, what's to do? It was vast. It was like this huge city. The walls had been its glory and its safety. And they were just burned out. People were just trampling all over it. And there was this little ramshackle bunch of Christian families, or Jewish families in those days, obviously God's people, there's a few of them, knocking about in sort of wrecked out houses, keeping their heads down and keeping out of the way of the enemy, who could run riot across the city because there was no walls to keep them out. And so basically Nehemiah, the waiter, and Ezra, the priest, went to these guys and said, can you help us rebuild this city? And they looked and went, are you kidding? And I went, no, we feel God's told us that we need to just need to rebuild this beautiful city that God loves, all the people in it that he just longs to see living their best lives in a city that makes him proud again. And so these groups of families came outside their front doors and went, what do you reckon, kids? What do you reckon, Nana and Grandad? Because they all lived in extended families in those days. And as families, they went, all right, if let's work on the bit we can see. So each family got the kids, granny, granddad, they're all in there, all the generations, kids carrying buckets of bricks and goodness knows what, good for their health and not their safety, but their health. And basically everybody pulled together to make this thing happen. And in 52 days, this ramshackle remnant of families rebuilt the city walls so big that you could fit two choirs going either direction on top of them. That's not just a little picket fence. They actually rebuilt with the help of God and working together. And God just said to me, he said for over one church, he said, I want you to release every generation to help build my house in their cities. And that every generation needs to play their part. They've all got something to do. They've all got something to bring. And then he warned me of this. He said, if one generation is missed out, there's going to be a gap in the wall. There's going to be a gap in the structure I want to build through you. I was like, oh gosh, that's pretty serious. God said, yeah, I need every generation involved in this. So I wanted to encourage you, and I know it's been said through the whole series, but I need to look you guys in the eye and say that for every single one of you in your time of life, right, in your time of life, in your responsibilities of life, in your season of life, God's saying he is longing for you to bring what you have to his table to help rebuild his house, his name, your community, and that as you do, there will be no gaps. All right? Now, when you hear something like that, like I think of all the reasons why I can only do so much. Yeah? And God respects that. Actually, as you ask God yourself individually, what is it that you want me to do? It's so easy. Don't expect the team here to start rotoring and programming your contribution and then wait and go, oh, well, no one's given me something to do. I ain't going to do it. I haven't been asked to do anything. Like, don't do that, right? What I'm asking you to do as a family of God, in the same way we're saying, God, what would you like me to do? How can I help Mike, Danny, and Jackson? Which is family, isn't it? So God, what is it that you want me to do to help build your house, to help build your name, to help build my community? Yeah? And when you hear it, you know it's God because he'll give you what you can do. Yeah? Not what someone else can do, what you can do. And then I encourage you to do this on that wonderful new email that's coming out, info@ whatever we call it, they'll let you know it. Share what you feel God said. Share what God said to you about how you can help. And some of the stuff might feel really random. You might go, I know it sounds really daft, but I feel I've got to go to these three neighbours and just befriend them. And you might say, well, how does that work in the church? It all works together. Some of us have been at a conference this year. We had a great one of the speakers said this really good thing. He said, let me get it right. Oh, I'm so, why did I say this? I've got my menopause working against me now. Right, so it doesn't come out jumbled. It was along the lines of, this isn't going to work, but I'm going to have to go with it because I've committed. So I'm in it now. Okay, when the people of God went into the promised land, the enemy held Jericho. Jericho was this huge walled city. The walls were massive. And in the same way Jerusalem's walls were burned down, the way into the city had to be to take the walls down, okay? So the people of God, again, none of them particularly good at, you know, they didn't have the old ball that they could swing and knock the wall down. They only had themselves and a few instruments, actually, a few praise and worship peeps. So Annabelle, off you go, they said. You go off, play your keyboard and sing. And God's told us that the walls will fall. The point was this, right? Man's plan to knock those walls down sounded reasonable, but wasn't going to work. God's plan to take those walls down sounded completely unreasonable, but worked. In a roundabout way, what I'm trying to say is this. God knows exactly what he's requiring you to do, and he will weave all of those steps of obedience together to form a tapestry that will build his house, that will build his name, and will rebuild your community. But it takes all of you. So I can't afford any of you to be sitting there thinking, I haven't got a part to play. You 100% have got a part to play in building God's house, building God's name, and rebuilding your community. You've just got to ask him what it is, and it won't be too heavy to bear. It's not going to burn you out, because he gives us the strength to do what he asks us to do. Isn't it funny how sometimes we feel so like, ugh, like sometimes I feel so overwhelmed. And God says, well, I didn't give you those shopping bags to carry. You pick those up yourself. And I'm like, oh. And I can be so busy carrying my thing. And maybe some of us have just got to drop some of the bags and pick up the thing that God wants us to do. It will never be too heavy to bear. And finally, if you're in here and you're going, I have no idea what she is on about, and I don't even actually properly know Jesus, that's okay. Because what he's saying is, at my table, there's a seat for everyone. And if you would like to get to know me, the Bible's really clear. I knock at the door of your heart. I'm not going to force my way in. I'm going to wait for you to open the door of your heart and say, Jesus, if you're there and you're real, I want to know you. And then that's how it starts. So it's like a knock, knock. I heard someone's doorbell go. Someone's got a ring doorbell in the meeting. I heard it go zing, right? That little ringer, that ringer will go off, and it's Jesus at your door. And you just say, Jesus, I'd love you to come in. I'd like to find out more about this. And he says, I won't force my way in. I'll come. Let's start a conversation. Let's start a relationship. And that's how it starts. That simple. Okay? So you are all required to build this thing. God will show you what to do. It's your responsibility to share it and support each other in it. End of, okay? Do you reckon you can do it? Yeah. Let's just stand up then. And I'm just going to pray over you, and I'm going to then hand over to you to do the final, Emily to do the final. Thanks for the wink, Kai. Final goodbye. Lord Jesus, we are yours. You have done so much for us. And we could never, ever, ever, ever repay it. But what we can do is say, whatever you require of us, we trust that you are not going to burn us out, but we trust that you're going to help us become builders of your house and your community to the glory of your name. And if we can do it in 52 days, happy days, but however long it takes, we're in it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Bless you guys. Love you.